Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Well, hello, hello, and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis, and I am here with Rick Sterling. Today is February 4, 2022, and this is The Bible on Trial. Thank you for joining us. We will get started here in just a few minutes. Rick and I are just basically finishing up breakfast and drinking the last delicious morsels of coffee that I make with my, what would you call it, funnel brewer. And we'd just like to someday sit down with all of you. Maybe we will do that here soon in the Earth Made New, but there's a lot that's going to happen before that, and we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. Before we do, I want to call your attention to our websites and our Facebook page. Our primary website is spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find lots and lots of good information, writing by Rick Sterling, and a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld. We also have a secondary website that is located at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. There you will find lots and lots of other good historical writing, historical data from the rest of us, including Rick. We have a Facebook page. It is called Spirit of Truth Ministry Facebook, or our group, Spirit of Truth Ministry group. And if you type that into your search engine on Facebook, you will get right there. And if you request membership, we will be glad to include you. Let's have prayer and we'll get started. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for giving us this day to come aside and to learn more about what you need from us as we move in to a new scenario that does not include death and destruction. I thank you, Father, that you will, in your mercy, see to it that we all understand and know our roles in this and what we are to do to bring about the kingdom of heaven on this earth so that you can take the message of salvation, the true message, to the world. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And let me go ahead and call up here. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And how are you doing this morning?
Oh, a little above average by now.
Oh, good. I'm so happy to hear that. And good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning.
So we have the whole crew
gorgeous
here.
Gorgeous morning.
Are you out in the canyon there?
I'm in the canyon, looking at the gorgeous blue sky and the white top mountain off in the distance.
Would you cut that out, Don? We don't want people from other states to come into California. It wouldn't do them any good.
That's true.
You're describing a Chamber of Commerce day in sunny Southern California, and I will tell you, this is
come to California.
Yeah. If you love
Southern California.
Southern California. There you go. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome, everyone. We are in a very interesting time of change. And
does the word precarious have anything to do with it? Really not.
No.
It doesn't.
Precarious is not I don't know that precarious has ever been a good term. There's a text I found in Isaiah that is appropriate for our start of our study today. It is full of hope after despair and trouble. The trouble, of course, as you can see, if you are looking on the internet and at the news, and not the mainstream media news, but the alternative news such as...
Well, let's put it this way. If you're looking at the mainstream media news and the mainstream media, social media, you are not getting the true story.
And you are looking at propaganda. But I'll tell you how you can tell which media outlet is telling you the truth. And that is if it's being censored and banned on the mainstream media corporations, such as AT&T with DirecTV, CBS, ABC, NBC. And one that's kind of straddling the line is Fox. But Fox seems to be moving toward the truth side. We'll see if it makes that transition. Tucker Carlson has been on fire. He's been on fire. And
and there's another word when you said Tucker Carlson, the word that came to my mind is excoriate. He is excoriating the left. I mean, this is a no holes barred. He's taken the gloves off and he's making body punches.
But the one media company which I do trust is OANN, One America News Network. And they broadcast Senator Ron Johnson's roundtable discussion on the jab. It went for 5 hours, and they just scratched the surface. But if you have not seen Senator Ron Johnson's roundtable, he had every expert from every field involved in that, up to and including a registered nurse, which was very impressive. As you know, I am a registered nurse, and I can tell you that the doctors who were trustworthy trust a nurse who has demonstrated knowledge and wisdom in carrying out their care plan. And that brings me to our opening text, which is found in Isaiah chapter 57, starting with verse 14. Isaiah 57, starting with verse 14. It shall be said, open up, open up, clear the way. Remove all obstacles from the way of my people. My God did tell this to Isaiah, and he was speaking at the time about the children of Israel. But he doesn't specify, and the time timeliness and the timelessness of this statement by God given to Isaiah is applicable at this time and for this reason. This starts out, this revelation and directive from God starts out in the same vein as what John the Baptist was saying. So what I'm doing is I'm comparing what this says here to the Elijah type prophet. And in so doing, I am making an application to the end time, the days of Elijah, at the end of days, this statement from Most High and Holy, the Creator who created everything. Open up, clear the way. Remove all obstacles from the way of my people. For thus speaks the Most High, whose home is in eternity, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, also with the contrite and humble spirit, to give the humbled spirit new life, to revive contrite hearts. And a contrite heart is a heart that is not full of lies. A contrite heart is one that is open to the truth. A contrite heart is one who hears the voice of the Good Shepherd, the voice of their king, and listens to the voice of their king, recognizing the truth. They open the door to their heart and allow him in to sit down with them, and he will teach them, giving them the truth. To revive a contrite heart. For I will not quarrel forever, nor be always angry. For then the spirit would give way before me the very souls I have made. And then go to verse 18. Same chapter, 57, Isaiah. But I will heal him and console him. I will comfort him to the full. That's a powerful statement. Those who are troubled, those who are concerned, those who might even be giving way to fear. The word of the one who created your soul says, I will console him and will comfort him to the full, both him and his afflicted fellows, bringing praise to their lips. So the comfort and the consolation that he brings bears fruit of praise. Peace to far and near. I will indeed heal him, says Yahweh. The wicked, however, are like the restless sea that cannot be still and washes up mud and slime. No peace for the wicked. I have lived in Southern California all my life with the southern end of Central California and Southern California all my life. I have been to the beaches in California more times than I can count. And I know exactly what this statement here by Yahweh is. And if you've ever seen the mud and slime that washes up on the beach from time to time, it is nothing you want to come in contact with. It is very repulsive. Those of you who have been paying attention to what is going on in the world have seen the forces of evil working through evil people in a desperate attempt to subdue the world under the control and authority of Satan, the evil one. That ancient serpent who has enjoyed great success in deceiving and controlling the people of this earth. Now, when I say great success, I'm not saying that he has mastered everyone. I'm not saying that at all. But what I will say is the people of the world have, albeit unknowingly in most cases, follow, believe, and adhere to lies that have been insinuated into the spiritual processes that would appear to be from God. They have an outward appearance of charity, of humility, of caring for others. And when I say outward appearance, they are doing this, but they lack one very important thing. They lack the spirit, the soul of humanity and charity. They lack the truth. You can be a wonderful, loving, caring person, and that's a good thing, but not know what the truth is. And when the truth comes, because it challenges your spiritual practice, whatever that may be, and particularly the spiritual practice of Christianity and Judaism and the worshipers in Islam, all of these have humanitarian purposes. All of these have charity in their writings. All of these talk about humility. But none of these know the truth about the true God. They know about God. They have different names for God, but none of them know God. And that's why I opened with these verses, particularly how these verses, this group of verses starts. Isaiah 57, verses 14 and 15. It shall be said, open up, open up, clear the way. Clear the way for what? Remove all obstacles from the way of my people. For thus speaks the Most High, whose home is in eternity, whose name is holy. Open up that contrite heart. And God will console you with the truth. How do you tell what is truth and what is lies? Because the devil presents lies as truth, and they're all nicely packaged in with the trappings of love and charity and caring. When you remove the trappings, you see the lies. You see the agenda of the evil one. Why does God make such a big deal about knowing the truth? If all that is important is living a quote-unquote good life, then why is it important to know the truth as long as you're just being a good person? Well, you see, there are two great commandments. Two, not one. Every Christian abides by one of the great commandments, the second one that is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Honor your mother and your father. Do not steal. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not covet.
Rick, I have a text from Matthew that goes absolutely, it's like a shot right to the center of a target. Starts in Matthew 23:27. And this is where Jesus is exposing the lies inside of the religious leaders of the day. and it goes perfectly with what we are seeing today, not only in the spiritual world, but in the wider world. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Why can't they hide, Rick? Why can't the people who are, who those verses in Isaiah are talking about, in other words, what are they doing? They're doing exactly what God said there. They're not letting people be free. They are enslaving people to a will that is totally and 180 degrees away from the will of the Father.
Do you know what the word pretense means?
Yes, it's looking good but being evil.
Or not necessarily evil. It's looking as if
you're better,
meet all
right,
the
requirements, standards.
Standards of godliness and spiritual practice, but in your soul, your heart, your intellect, you have nothing.
Right.
Now, you can have the pretense of something in your heart and have nothing there when what is in your intellect is not the truth. It is lies.
And Rick, what does it mean, dead men's bones? Well, there's no meat to them, no truth to them. There's nothing that is holding those bones together.
And what it is filthy.
It's filthy.
Filth, absolutely. Like he's talked about the slime and the mud that washes up on the shore. In Matthew, and let's see, I think it's 15. Find this. No.
What's the
the rich young man?
Okay.
Anyway, while Dennis is looking that up, turn to John chapter 5. I want to set this up. The Son of God has been conducting his ministry for probably 3 or 4 months now. He has had his midnight or nighttime, late night meeting with one of the teachers in Israel, Nicodemus. And then he's had the discussion with the woman at Jacob's well and stayed a few days there in Sychar. And moving right along, we come to his being questioned by the religious leaders. So I want you to consider what is happening here. The Son of God has just healed a sick man at the pool of Bethesda. Yes, Dennis.
Matthew 19:16. And on. Should I read?
The part that I want is...
Is it the one... Why
about
are
About being... What do you need to have eternal life?
Right.
Go ahead.
And someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. And if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." Then he said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking?" Jesus said to him, and I find this interesting because we've been talking about Jesus completing the set, the Old Testament, the prophets,
the law, the prophets,
and then the testimony of Jesus. If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give them to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come. Follow me. Follow him how? What was Jesus wanting this young man to do?
Well, isn't that the same statement he made to his disciples, the 12, when he said, "Come, follow me"?
Mm-hmm.
So for
what purpose? Right.
Was he asking these men, the fishermen and the tax collector, you know, Matthew is a tax collector. Why was he saying, "Come, follow me"?
And really, he wasn't telling this young man to sell his possessions because he wanted this young man to be poor. He just didn't want this young man to have any other concerns than learning the words that Jesus was going to teach him.
And as proof of that, we see in that parable of the marriage feast, what was one of the reasons in the parable given by some who, when they received the invitation, they said, "Well, let me go bury my father. Let me take care of my crops, my business." And so he's saying that you need to focus on his teaching,
right?
His testimony. And if you're too busy to do that, if you're too busy taking care of your worldly business here, your wealth, and this person, I guess, was quite wealthy. Keeping the commandments is only part of getting eternal life. The other part is learning and putting into practice and spreading the testimony of the Son of God.
And so if a person has already accomplished what Jesus was telling this young man to do, if they have already given up everything to learn the words of Jesus, do you not think at the right time and in the right way, God will provide for them to do exactly what you said? They've already learned it, and now they are given the opportunity to go out and tell others about it without having to worry about the things that they would normally worry about.
You know, there's a saying that I heard a few times before, and it's only partially true, although it's only partially true in the way it is understood. and that is let go and let God. Now, I know where that saying originated is, or the intention of that saying is, let God have his will in your life, and he will do it all for you. And that is not true. But what is true is, go of the lies and let God fill you with truth. Well, the Son of God had just finished a discussion with the woman at the well, and the disciples had come back having purchased bread in Sychar and saying, Rabbi, and this is John chapter 4, starting with verse 31, Rabbi, do have something to eat. Oh, they just opened themselves up. They just opened themselves up to a teaching moment. But he said, I have food to eat that you do not know about.
And you see, here is the thing that Jesus fought with his disciples their entire experience. Jesus was speaking spiritually, and they were thinking physically.
And you have to have an intellect that is open to the food that God has.
Right. Right.
And you need to eat it. And when you eat food, what happens to it? You swallow it, goes into your stomach, it's digested, and then it's absorbed in the intestinal tract. That's what you do with the physical food. But the spiritual food, what God wants you to do is to eat the spiritual food, the words that he says, and we'll read that. And it goes into your intellect, and what is already in your intellect is lies. So what God wants is he wants you to eat the good spiritual food that will go into your intellect through your eyes and your ears. And when it's in your intellect, it will expel the lies. So the truth you put into your intellect will expel the lies as your body expels the waste from your colon. It is important for a healthy intellect that it is full of good words of truth and not the foul waste product of lies.
What, Rick, is the word that is used to describe a dead animal that is being eaten by a scavenger? It's called carrion, okay? If we continue to carry on, it's a double entendre. If we continue to think and eat as if the carrion, spiritual carrion that we're eating is good food, we will be no better than a scavenger that will only eat food that has been killed by other animals.
And
it's gross. It's filthy.
Not only that, Dennis, but it is regurgitated.
Mm-hmm.
It is foul words of lies.
Dr. Don would like to say something. Go ahead, Don.
Are like eating vomit.
Right. Go ahead, Don.
Okay, very quickly, several pages back, Rick said there was two major commandments. He mentioned the first one, but not the second.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Make sure that for the new listeners, you said there's two great commandments. You listed the first one, but not the second one.
Right, and he's getting there.
Good.
And I'll do that right now. Now, I know that no one would eat vomit.
You haven't met my dog.
I said no one.
No.
I know dogs do.
Yes.
And there's mention of that in the Bible.
That's exactly right.
The first commandment, great commandment, Dennis read there's another place in, I believe, Matthew, where he is questioned by a religious legal scholar, and the scholar asks, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, and all thy spirit. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. In the answer to the rich young man.
By the way, that is Matthew 20. That's Matthew 12, 28 through 31. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing and recognized that he had answered them well and asked him, what commandment is the foremost of all? The second is this, Jesus says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these two.
In the second commandment, there is a command to keep the commandments. If you love God, you keep his commandments, and he rewards you with blessing for 1,000 generations, those who love him and keep his commandments. So in the second commandment, there is a command to keep the commandments. Back to John chapter 4. So the disciples asked one another, this is verse 34, has someone been bringing him food? But Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me. And, here we go again, Dennis, to complete his work. Have you not got a saying, 4 months and then the harvest? Well, I tell you, look around you. Look around at the fields. Already they are white, ready for harvest. Already the reaper is being paid his wages. Already he is bringing in the grain for eternal life. And thus sower and reaper rejoice together. For here the proverb holds good. One sows, another reap. I sent you to reap a harvest you had not worked for. Others worked for it, and you have come into the rewards of their trouble. Now, go over to John chapter 5, And let's start with verse 17. His answer to them was, "My father goes on working, and so do I." But that only made the Jews even more intent on killing him, because not content with breaking the Sabbath. Now, they said he broke the Sabbath when he healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. He was teaching them, but they were unwilling to learn. He spoke of God as his own father, and so made himself God's equal. Now, I'm sure that when most of you pray, you say, "My Father," or "My Father in heaven." If you call him your father, according to the Jews here, you are making yourself equal to him. Do you see how they're trying to twist things around?
You know, I find it fascinating, Rick, that they are so deep into their own need for themselves to be right, that they will twist even the words of God to their own, for their own use. And we see that in Jeremiah 8:8-9.
How was it that the Son of God taught his disciples to start their prayer? "Our Father in the heavens." Verse 19 of John 5. "I tell you most solemnly, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, and whatever the Father does, the Son does too. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he does himself, and he will show him even greater things than these works that will astonish you." And he was directly referring to the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda. "Thus, as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son gives life to anyone he chooses. The Father judges no one. He has entrusted all judgment to the Son so that all may honor the Son. All may honor the Son as they honor the Father. Whoever refuses to honor the Son refuses honor to the Father who sent him." I want you to give some very deep thought and consideration to that last statement I just read, that the Son of God is giving to the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests and the whole religious elite. And it's talking about honor. In order to honor someone, that means that if that someone whom you honor has said something of significance, you need to believe them. You need to believe what they are saying is the truth, and by accepting what they are saying, learning from what they are saying, and sharing with others what they are saying is how you honor them. You do not honor the Son of God by lying about his teaching. You do not honor the Son of God, spreading a teaching around as if it is the truth, and it is not what he taught. You do not show and demonstrate that you believe in the Son of God and teach something he never taught, believe something he never said, and then say it is from the Father. Because the Son of God has said, has been entrusted with judgment. And what is that judgment? And understand that when harvest is used in the spiritual context, that is judgment. When he says, look out, the fields are white, ready for judgment. Where are the harvesters? Where are the harvesters? John chapter 12. I've read this on the air many, many times. And you can tell by how many times I have read this, how important this is for you to grasp, and not only grasp, but eat. And not only eat, but bring it into your intellect and keep it there.
Could that be verse 35?
It starts with verse 44.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in the one who sent me. Sees me, sees the one who sent me. I, the light, have come into the world. So that whoever believes in me need not stay in the dark anymore. This is more than just an acknowledgement of existence. This is more than just a statement of existence. In other words, to accept the Son of God as your personal Savior will not save you any more than the devil's words that promise salvation. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them faithfully. And when I'm talking about keeping, when he says keeping here is what I said earlier. The words of the Son of God go into your ears or in through your eyes, into your intellect. And I guarantee you those words will contradict everything you believe the first time you hear them. They will contradict everything you believe. So he says, if you keep them, if you keep them faithfully, eyes that contradict the words, the teaching of the Son of God are expelled as excrement. The excrement that they are. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them faithfully, it is not I who shall condemn him. Yeah, we're told that judgment has been given to him. So what he's saying is, I'm not going to say you're guilty or you're not guilty. He says this. I'm not going to say that. This is what it is. Since I have not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and refuses my word has his judge already. The word itself. The word itself that I have spoken will be his judge on the last day. For what I have spoken does not come from myself. No. What I was to say, what I had to speak, was commanded by the Father who sent me. And I know that his command means eternal life. And therefore, what the Father has told me, is what I speak.
Can you get more direct than that?
In closing, we will read from 2 John. And this is starting with verse 7. There are many deceivers about in the world refusing to admit that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They are the deceiver. They are the antichrist. Watch yourself, or all our work will be lost and not get the reward it deserves. If anybody does not keep within the teaching of Christ but goes beyond it, he cannot have God with him. Only those who keep to what he taught can have the Father and the Son with them. If anyone comes to you bringing a different doctrine, a different gospel, you must not receive him in your house or even give him a greeting. To greet him would make you a partner in his wicked work. And again, I have for the last 20 years offered $1,000 to the first person who can show that Paul's teaching is exactly 100% the same as the testimony of Jesus, as recorded by his eyewitness disciples, Matthew and John. A few have tried, none has succeeded. Remember, the word will be judged on the last day. And these days are the days of Elijah.
And not only has no one collected that reward, but they have joined us in agreeing that what Paul has said is 100%, 180 degrees out of phase with what Jesus said. On behalf of Spirit of Truth, I'm glad that you were with us today. We encourage you to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. And so we will see you all tomorrow. Have a great day.